This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're talking with Bob Mata, defense attorney, about the Scott Peterson case and the new filings with the L.A. Innocence Project that are trying to argue that Scott Peterson did not do this and that there was a lot of errors in this investigation, a lot of errors in this trial. You have evidence, you have people who made original statements, recanting them, and a lot of new things coming to light, and we're breaking it all down. And I want to get your guys' thoughts in the comments section as we continue to break this down. I want to talk about some of the false police testimony that was brought into the trial, the petition that has been filed with the LA Innocence Projects, listing 15 witnesses, including five who personally knew Lacey, who saw her walking her dog between 9:45 and 11:30 a.m. on December 24th. Police reports confirming this were allegedly buried or altered. One cop later admitted witnesses were turned away. That's not how you do an up-and-up investigation. You don't just bury shit that doesn't go with the narrative of what you are going to want to convince the jury of. That's how cases like this get really fucked up and set guilty people free because you wanted to push your narrative to be right at that moment in time. And that's what some of that really feels like. Bob?
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, there were a lot of people that claimed that they saw Lacey. And it wasn't all strangers. Like five of these witnesses were people that knew Lacey and knew what she looked like and were unequivocal that it was her. And the cops quite simply just said, nope. Wrong person. Like you didn't see her. We got the guy that's impossible that you saw her because she was already dead, you know? So, it's completely ignored by law enforcement, which is again, like when we go back and we talk about that thing that you were just talking about, Tony, where like you look at this dude who's only been dating or whatever, fucking this chick Amber for 14 days. This isn't like this is some 6 month or a year long affair.
Yeah.
You know, this is like a 14 day fling. His wife's fucking pregnant. And law enforcement's looking at this guy like exactly how you described it. Like that is so fucked up. Like that after she goes missing, you're still trying to keep that thing afloat. This fucking guy did it. Like in anybody's mind, that's why he's so detested. Like if that doesn't exist in the world, and I'm talking about the Amber shit after Lacey goes missing.
Right.
Because it's one thing to have an affair beforehand. That's bad. It's fucking awful, right? Your pregnant wife, what kind of scumbag does that? But to continue to try to nurture that relationship, to keep her, you know, involved with him is where he lost the lead, man. That's where everything fell apart for him, that nobody was going to see him as even potentially being innocent, because who does that?
Right.
Other than a fucking narcissistic sociopath.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like this guy couldn't control himself. You know, you figure, okay, well, my wife's gone missing, which, again, is a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you can't discount that.
Right.
The fact that like he's continuing to do that just shows where his state of mind was, you know? And I mean, he owns that these days, you know, in terms of saying, you know, I was a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
I think I was a sex addict, whatever, you know, whatever his excuses are. But, you know, again, the thing that's important to remember here is whether or not the guy got a fair trial.
That's the point.
When you start looking at this shit, I mean, the die was cast, and it all starts with that thing about Amber. When Amber comes forward and fucking flame throws him, that was it. Everybody in everybody's mind, he's the guy. It doesn't really matter what they put out there in terms of the trial, in terms of evidence. And it was,
If the Amber part didn't exist, this looks very shady and bizarre. I'm sorry, let me interrupt you, Stacey.
No, that's okay. What I was going to say was that that's the hard part of this, is that he is such a piece of shit.
Right.
As a human being, that it's really hard to decipher between the cold facts and what's been revealed here, and not contrast it to this guy's just a piece of shit cheating on his pregnant wife and then continuing after she's dead, because right. you're just that much of a POS, you know?
Right. I mean,
and the reality is with that sort of thinking, and I get it. We all feel that way. But the reality is, if we just dig into that narrative and then he's a piece of shit, he deserves to go down no matter what, well, then you're ignoring the other piece of shit that killed this pregnant right. woman.
Just for
the vitriol of ourselves feeling good that right. he's going down. Great, but there's a piece of shit over here that killed that woman.
Right.
And we feel good inside. We think we got the guy, but no, we're really letting someone get away with murder. And again, all theoretical. I'm neutral on this. I'm just kind of looking at it from all angles, but that's how we work as humans, because we want to fill in the blanks. We want to have the answers. When we don't have the answers, we're going to go with the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance is Scott Peterson killed his wife because he was out fishing that day. And lo and behold, they found the body out that way. Well, also lo and behold, if somebody else knew he was out fishing there that day, was witness to her catching them in a burglary that they did not want to get caught for, and one of those many men had the wise idea of, she's going to fucking talk, we better silence her. And how do we make this look? Well, people are going to naturally think it's him. He's already said he was out fishing. Go put the body there. That's not rocket science. That's a criminal mind, the way of thinking of how they're going to handle this to deflect the blame away. And it worked perfectly, if that's exactly what happened.
So doesn't it mean he is just the most unlucky fucker you've ever met in your life?
He's the unluckiest fucking guy of all time. Him and Richard Allen are the two unluckiest dudes. It's ultimately at the end of the day, because we could keep going. This thing was 600 pages long, right?
I mean, I know.
There's a lot of shit in there. Okay. I mean, when you start getting into the witnesses that are adamant that they saw Lacey after the time Scott's gone, which was 9:30 mm-hmm. in the morning, you know, and you start piling this shit on and you see what the cops lied about. You know, look, you've got all these things in your favor if the cops are, you know, dead set that he's the guy, in terms of, like, you could, if you're a cop who likes Scott Peterson, you could not ask for anything more perfect than this guy having a girlfriend and continuing to try to bang her after his wife's gone missing. I mean, you couldn't have anything go more your way than that particular set of circumstances. That is like a gift from God if you're the cops and they're prosecutor. You're like, holy shit. Thank you, Scott Peterson. You're fucked, buddy. Because the entire world hates you now because you're a giant flaming piece of shit. You have to, and I know how hard it is. And like Tony said, we all understand that. And we all feel the same way about Scott Peterson. He's not a good dude. You have to be able to put that aside in order to honestly look at this thing and just say, okay, I want to see whether or not he got a fair trial. And if he didn't, let's have a fair trial and see where it fucking lands. With all the evidence, with all the shit that the cops got rid of, with all the people that they lied about in terms of what their statements were, let's have it all come in and figure it out. I mean, because ultimately we want to know the truth, right?
Yeah. And anytime you have the words destruction of evidence entering the zeitgeist of a case, that's not going to bode well for the truth, no matter what that truth actually is. And the reality is, in this case, there's several chapters to this book that were ripped out and the jury never saw and the public never saw or ignored because it didn't fit with how they emotionally felt as they were consuming the information as it came from the mouth of Nancy Grace. The orchestrated destruction of evidence, the May 6th through the 7th meeting, this is a big one. On May 6th of 2003, detectives met about the Medina burglary discovery and what to turn over. This is a burglary that's happening across the street. This is the one that Lacey allegedly stumbled upon, whether she was confronting them or just out for the walk. Hey, what you guys up to? Whatever that scenario may have been. On May 7th, the next day, it was marked for destruction. The videotaped interviews of the burglars, Todd and Pierce, and the stolen Medina safe. Why would you destroy that information? Why would you destroy the evidence before the trial in a case like this, where, you know, anything is a possibility? You may need this down the road if you don't get a conviction on Scott Peterson, because they didn't have one yet. If you're looking for the truth, why on earth would you be destroying any other piece of information that could help you solve this case, other than because it doesn't play with your current narrative that you're pushing and you don't want to be wrong?
Right. Well, you just answered the question.
Exactly.
That's why they fucking destroyed it.
That's why they did it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it should piss people off. You know, I mean, it really should. They destroyed, like you said, the taped interviews with both Todd and Pierce. They destroyed the Medina safe. I mean, why the fuck would they do that? You know, it's like, what is there? Was this in the back of the van and Lacey's back there, and the thing had some kind of fingerprints / DNA on it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, why?
And answer me this. How the fuck does Lacey's watch get pawned by an associate of the burglars? How? If Scott killed her, dumped her in a lake, or they just happened to be out fishing there too one day, and oh shit, a watch, let's go pawn this.
It's so fucking weird, man.
That part doesn't seem to make any sense either. But again, this part, this piece of the case, another piece nobody heard about. The jury didn't hear about it. Nobody heard about it. But it's there. It's a fact. It's an inconvenient fact if you think Scott Peterson is guilty, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
And if we're playing in the realm of reality on reality's terms, it kind of makes you think a little bit differently. I mean, what are the odds of that? What are the odds that an associate of the burglars pawns her fucking watch if they had nothing to do with her death?
It's a problem.
It's a fucking problem. And if people don't know what we're talking about, so Lacey had this gold Croton watch that she had inherited from her grandmother when she passed. And that was never found at the house. All right. And on 24th, Scott had told one of the detectives that Lacey was wearing the wristwatch that had diamonds all around the face when he left the house. So when Scott says he leaves, Lacey's wearing the watch. And then all of Lacey's watches, when they go and kind of do inventory of her shit, you know, because obviously they're going to try to figure out, number one, if you know, the unlikely situation or circumstance that Lacey dipped, right? Like, she's not dipping on fucking Christmas Eve day. But they're gonna take an inventory, make sure all her clothes are still there, that she didn't just like fucking like jet, you know. So they go and they see all her other watches aside from the Croton watch. And then this Grogan, who's the detective, he spends months investigating the missing watch in 2003. He says he goes to all the pawn shops, and specifically this Brooks Pawn and Jewelry, where Lacey sold some of her other grandmother's stuff, but they don't have a Croton there. Okay. And then he meets with Lacey's family, like her aunt, Robin, and she confirms that it's a watch with diamonds around the face. And then again, they check Scott's eBay activity to see if the thing was sold. The Croton was listed for $750, it never sold. Goes to the jeweler that Lacey used and repaired the watch at one point. They don't have the Croton. And like ultimately they end up searching for one. So after he goes through all the family shit, goes through all the places that she would have normally have gone with the watch to get it repaired, Grogan asks another cop, he's like, look, search the Modesto Police Department, like pawn records, okay? And see if you have anything come up for, you know, Croton diamond watch. And one pops up at the pawn shop in Modesto, which is like 3 miles away from the house. And So they go over there, and the pawn was, it was pawned by this Deanna Renfro for $20 on December 31st of 2002. I mean, that's, so Grogan writes in his report that the slip does not appear to match the description of Lacey's croton. So he starts fucking lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately, like this croton is, it's clearly the watch.
Doesn't fit the narrative.
It does not fit the narrative.
We got lie. Yeah. Doesn't fit the narrative.
And he stops. Like immediately after he finds this information out, he's like, okay, I'm good. I'm not going to look any more into this shit. Yeah. He didn't, like, you know, he doesn't do any, he doesn't visually examine the watch. He doesn't photograph the watch. He doesn't collect the watch. Like, so he sees the fucking watch at the pawn shop and just like dips. He's like, I'm good.
Not good. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
And then you have an orange van up in flames near the house with what they believe was a blood-stained mattress.
Yeah.
An arson fire on this van. The police did take photos, videos, and reports. None of it surfaces for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you have a murder right not far away. I mean, obviously there wasn't a body in the van, but if you got Lacey in there and you killed her and you want to get rid of the evidence of that piece of the crime and you go take the body to the lake, which we happen to know Scott was fishing at, let's go dump her where everybody thinks Scott might have been. And we don't look at the van. We don't, I mean, what? Again, doesn't fit the narrative. So let's pretend it has nothing to do with it or that it didn't happen. It seems to be how this has played out.
Yeah, and frankly, the van doesn't fit real neatly with the new data either, though.
You know,
it's like, well, because the van was discovered on the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so unless she was transferred to a different vehicle. You know,
I'm wondering if they kept her, you know, captive for a bit or something.
What I'm saying is, if the van's on fire on the 26th, and the new data is that
for the baby,
right? You know, that the baby was killed on that mean date of the 1st. That means that these guys would have kept her alive for a few days. Maybe, you know, what the fuck do we do? I don't want to fucking. I'm not going to fucking kill a pregnant woman. Fuck you, dude. I didn't sign up for that. You know, whatever that internal battle might have been with these dudes. If that's the case, if that's what happened here. So, you know, because they had found blood on that mattress in this van, right? And like the last time this thing came up in court, they were trying to test multiple things found in that van because there was a unknown male profile found in there. So they wanted to be able to do the testing on that. And I think the judge back then allowed them to analyze and test one thing. But in terms of for the defense, they don't need to prove shit. Like, this isn't about that, you know? So, but like, that's going to be pushback for people that are like, because there are people that are, because this van's orange, right? And like, there were people that saw this other, you know, people that are claiming they saw the Medina van for the burglary, then there were people that were saying it was white, you know? So you've got kind of you got some conflict with what color the van was and what certain people that were witnesses are claiming that what color the van was and what this van was. So, I mean, but it's still, again, you know, why aren't you investigating it fully is the bigger question.
When you're in a circle of, when everything's chaotic, you can't just start dismissing things when you don't have, when the chaos hasn't settled yet.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, well, no, you have to take it all. You have to let it settle. You have to see what all this is. Because if you don't, well, you end up like this. Nearly 25 years later, we're going, what the hell did you all do? And you have Brady violations where it's a suppression of favorable evidence. I'm just going to go through this list here. It's a lot of the stuff we had already talked about. But when you put it into context like this, it makes you go, oh, okay. You got the January 2nd videotapes. That's the conversations with the burglars. destroyed? Like, why are you destroying? We saw that in the Richard Allen case where, well, why are you destroying the videoed evidence? Oh, yeah, you taped over him accidentally. Sure, right. That's the story. So you have this destroyed with the other possible perpetrators here. You have the safe, the Medina safe from across the street destroyed. The Croton watch investigation hidden. The police admissions that they lied about verifying the burglars' alibis. Interviews with the Medinas confirming the January 24th burglary. The burned van and the blood evidence. The jailhouse informant James Romano's 2003 report about burglars' admissions and the watch. Witness proof that Lacey knew about the boat. Lieutenant Aponte's recorded inmate calls linking the burglars to Lacey. There's a lot here. In open court, prosecutor Burgant Flagg admitted they withheld evidence because they didn't like the defense investigator. It's I mean, what the fuck?
That guy's a dick. That guy's a fucking total dick. We're not giving him shit. Get out.
like that's what? How we do a case. I don't like you. My personality doesn't flow well with you, so I'm going to hold back shit that actually matters.
Yeah.
I think Scott Peterson is deserving of a new trial.
Yeah. I mean, if he's the culprit, I mean, it's sad.
But you know, let's do it fair. Let's do it fair with the right information.
We have a choice, Tony. Like, if we're going to choose to live under our Constitution, which we have to, it's the backbone of our country. Without it, we have nothing. The country falls apart. We're in fucking utter chaos. And the thing applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like giant flaming pieces of shit and the sweetest human being you've ever met. Every single person, the thing applies to all of us that are you know, living in this country. So, I mean, if he didn't get a fair trial, which... Again, like, look, we're looking at the defense side of this.
Okay? Sure.
So the state may have to respond. I mean, that's the first step in this thing. The court is going to determine whether or not they think there's enough here that it warrants the state to respond to it. So they could say, they could look through this 600 pages and say, you know, we've heard some of this shit before, you know, like... We don't think that it's enough. We think that they're still going to find it. The jury still would have found him guilty, even if all of this was true. And they have to, when they're looking at this, I'm talking about the appellate court, they have to look at it and accept everything is true in this. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's their mindset. So they have to fix their brain to say, okay, because that's the standard. They're looking at it and everything has to be accepted in this new petition as being true. So that's the jump off point for them. So they're saying, okay, assuming that everything is true, we still aren't convinced that any of this would have had an impact on the jury. I find that to be difficult to believe that they would come to that conclusion based on everything that we've been talking about. And there's more. There's 600 pages of shit, man.
Yeah, there's a lot in here.
But ultimately, I think what they're going to requires that the state does respond to this, because what this thing is going to take 2 years, 3 years to play out. So they'll have time to respond. It's obviously a massive petition. State's going to have to do a fuck ton of work to respond to it. They're going to have to find their own experts in order to refute claims that they're making. And then, you know, once they respond, the defense then gets the opportunity to reply. And after that's all done, when it's been fully briefed, then the court will decide whether or not there's going to be a full evidentiary hearing. Mm-hmm. And at that hearing, after the hearing, that's when they will decide. I mean, they could, after the thing is fully briefed, they could decide to give him a new trial just based on the papers. Mm-hmm. But I think the more likely scenario would be that they would grant this evidentiary hearing, which, as you can imagine, would be quite the spectacle.
Yeah.
You know.
Can he get a fair trial with all of the coverage from his previous trial and now this? Does he even get a fair shake, or is it just more about the process that he deserves all of the evidence to be brought forth?
You know who's the best to ask? Let's ask the chat. Like, what do you guys say? So if you haven't heard any of this, and we're talking directly to you guys out there in the chat, where are you at on this? Like, if you hadn't heard of the new stuff, And if you're able to, for a moment, to put aside that Scott is a fucking scumbag, okay? Like, personally, he's a scumbag. We're just trying to, again, we're just trying to figure out if he got a fair trial. If you've looked at all this and you're like, okay, you're making, you know, you're making me think about it in terms of the new stuff. All right. Like maybe this dude didn't get a fair trial. So then assume that he didn't and he's going to get a fair trial. Would you guys in the chat be able to put aside the fact that he's a fucking scumbag,
right,
and just go by the evidence that's presented at the case, because, or at the trial, because you can't take into consideration that he's a scumbag in terms of determining whether or not he's innocent or guilty of the crime?
I'm going to say this. This happened, you know, 20 some years ago now. We all were around for it. We all remember it because we were alive. You got a good chunk of the population that has no memory of this. This is in the history books. They didn't pay attention to it then. It would not have the impact that it had on us because we remember it. Or they didn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
You could have a juror on this that is younger than Connor would have been. The baby that could be a potential juror on this case. So I'm going to say, yes, I think he can get a fair trial if you have a good mix of jurors, because I think you're going to have at least a fourth of that, if not a third of that, that weren't even alive when this shit happened.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you are going to have a more unbiased look at this as opposed, I mean, if you tried this 5 years after he was convicted, 10 years after he's convicted, no, I think it'd be very, very difficult. At this point in time, this is ancient fucking history.
Yeah.
This is the only people who remember, who pay attention, is people who remember it, that remember all the vitriol about it. To most kids, most young adults, who's Scott Peterson? I've never heard of him. My mom talked about it once.
Yeah, and Tony, you make a fucking amazing point. And if you're both sides, if you're the defense and the prosecution, you want an entire jury filled with people under 23 years old. The entire jury should be people that were not alive when this case took place, if both sides really want a fair trial.
I mean, or they can be in their, I mean, you can, if you were a small child, you won't remember this. So you can get into the 30s. People in their early 30s would not remember most of this.
100%. Like, you know? So I agree with you. I think that they could. Now, Kim French, are you basing that on evidence or that base? Like, I always want to ask this question. And I'm not sitting here that I think that, you know, Scott Peterson's innocent. Okay. That is not part of my evaluation. All I'm trying to figure out is if the guy got a fair trial. But what I always want to ask are people that are so dead set that he's fucking guilty, is it because you hate him because he's a horrible person and because he was cheating on his wife prior to her dying?
Yeah.
And after she goes missing, he continues to continue to cheat on her. Like, is that what drives people to just put aside things that are fucked up with this trial and just say, fuck him, he's guilty, I hate him.
That's not a sound, accurate, or safe way of evaluating anything. That's basing it on emotion. And I get the emotion.
It's a human way.
It is, but it's not the accurate way. If we were just basing everything on the human way, we'd still be burning witches.
It is Halloween week.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
But right. if we're basing on that, we'd be doing that. We'd be throwing people in on the days that they're not doing NFL games. We'd be letting lions loose into the stadiums and having them devour criminals. If we're doing it the human way, but we've evolved. That. You know, that's the thing. You know.
Yeah.
And I get it, but it's just, it's where you got to take the step back. And like this, same with the Adelsons. I hate that woman, and she triggers me in so many ways, and many, many people. But the evidence there, we've all looked at every piece of it, and it's fucking damning. But there was something else, if there was something that lifted her out of that said, okay, you need to look at it. Because it needs to be fair. Just because someone's a shitty human being doesn't mean they murdered somebody, and it doesn't mean they'd be locked away for the rest of their lives because he was cheating on his wife and still trying to actively get some while she's missing. Yes, that is a piece of shit move. But you know what? Karma, the world, it comes back to collect on narcissists. And maybe that is the world that did come back and karma coming back and collecting on him by putting him away in prison for all of these years. But But even if that didn't happen, those things have a way of working themselves out with people like that. And it doesn't necessarily take our intervention and our anger and our emotion to have to be stacked up to take them out. They take themselves out. They always do.
Always do.
Yes, yeah,
Kim,
do.
Like Kim, you're saying that you're basing it on everything, in my opinion, but what we're trying to tell you is that the things that you're basing it on were incorrect and no. or not put into evidence and or tampered with or lied about. Like that's the whole point of this thing is, you know, everybody deserves a fair trial. If the state's got the goods, then fucking bring it. Bring the case, but do it fairly. Don't cheat. Don't destroy evidence. Bring it on the facts.
I want to hear the other side. I want to hear the state's rebuttal. What is the rebuttal? And it has to be fucking legitimate. It just can't be because we did it that way. Because because you didn't like the defense attorney. That's insane. It's insane to think that this is, but it is. And the reality is, this is a system run by humans, and humans do play a role in it. But that's where we have to be objective, and you need people that are not super connected to go, wait a second. No. We want to make this fair. That's not an okay way of looking at this. We need to look at this and deal with reality on reality's terms, something that I don't think most people that are out here in the world are very good at, ourselves included, because we all have emotions. But that's where you got to take that step back and pull the emotions out
it's
of
hard
it.
To
that's
do.
Not an easy thing to do. Not
it's
an easy
very,
thing to
very
do.
Hard. It is very it difficult, is not. Man.
fascinating information on this case. And honest to God, I didn't know what to expect going into it. I saw you and Allie doing this the other day, and I had a chance to watch a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. So I was really wanting to talk to you about this, and I'm glad we did, because it
me
really
too.
Opened up my eyes on this when it's put into perspective like this. Yeah. Everybody, give me your thoughts in the comments if you're watching this, you know, on the replay and all that. I'd love to get your feedback, because it is, I'm looking at this in a very different way than I have in the past. Your thoughts in the comments on YouTube, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you're not already there, you can make that same search wherever you get podcasts, so you can find us wherever you go. It's going to wrap it up. Until next time, Bob Botta for Defense Diaries. Go check out his podcast.
Listen to Buried. Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation.
Yes. Buried, the John Wayne Gacy. Yes.
Thank you.
Go check that out right now. It is amazing. And it really tells that story from a perspective you've never heard before. Buried. Check that out there. All right. That's going to wrap it up for Stacey, for Todd. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.